Tavshin Ayin Tes. So it starts off with Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber El Aaron, Vamarta Aleihem, Baloscha Saneiros, Almu Pneam Noraya, Iru Shiva Saneiros. So it uses the verb Baloscha. We've talked about this before.
What does literally mean?
Baloscha means to raise up. Right, which is a funny terminology. That you should have said Bahadla Koscha, when you light. Right, why raise up? So Rashi says, Al Shem Shahalav Ole Kosov Bahadla Kosom Loshem Aliyah. As Rashi's come to answer, why does it use the verb Bahaloscha as opposed to what you call Bahadla Koscha, when you light it, right, when you raise it up instead? You have to light it. You have to keep the keel of the taper or the whatever you're using to light it there until the flame rises on its own. In other words, if it would just say b'hadla koscha when you light it, so once it's got the fire there, even if it's sputtering, whatever, let it it'll grow on its own.
And we're talking about the menorah.
Right, we're talking about the menorah. Baloscha though tells you that you have to keep the fire there until it rises on its own, so that you're a participant in the fire rising up, right? Not just that you created a situation where the fire afterwards rises up, but you're a participant in causing the fire to rise up.
That's the halacha.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
you write the Hanukkah candle. You have to wait.
Okay. Right, I mean, here we're talking about the menorah in the Mishkan, right? So let's see. So the Sfasemis says, right? Birashi Shetia Shalheves Olameileha, that the flame should rise on its own. Kibachol Dover Yesh Nekuda Chius. Once again, the traditional approach of what he called of the Sfasemis and such an important thing, and I think we're going to focus on this, you know, in a lot of different fashions. What he called here in the parsha. In this world, like just what we were talking about before, right? In the world where things are, where Hashem's presence is hidden, but there always is the nekuda. There always is this point of what he called of the life of the life force from Hashem that needs to be and he wants to be revealed, right, within this object or experience or relationship, like we've talked about so many times before from the Sfasemis. Raksha kol toli ba'avodas ha'adam. In order to reveal it, though, you need the effort, right, of the person. Lo'orer, to awaken, hislavus, right, to awaken the, what do you call it, the, as it were, the excitement, the energy that's there inside. Lahatos akol Hashem Yisbarach, to direct it towards Hashem Yisbarach. So I can take any experience and either reveal Hashem's presence in it. I can take any object or act, right, and reveal Hashem's presence in it, or I could, as it were, I could leave it dormant, or worse than that, I could spit upon the what he called the ember that's there, the way that Sfasemis has talked about it before, right? We've talked based upon the Medrash. I could spit upon it and put out the flame altogether. According to the will and the desire of the person, he awakens the Ratzon, the will of Hashem that's in every object. They're hidden, right? Tachas yod. They're not hidden. He means that, in other words, when in your realm, right, in your realm, whatever comes your way. In other words, I'm not responsible for awakening, you know, the necessarily the nekuda of chius that exists in some faraway place that I'll never be, etc. But in my realm, in my lifetime, the span of my life. And the span of my experiences and the objects that I come into contact with, all those things are what do you call it, are the my realm that are within my domain that I have the ability to reveal Hashem's presence in it. Right? And that's under good circumstances, and unfortunately sometimes it's not happy circumstances. And he continues, and this is something we really need to discuss before. Later on in the Parsha, right? it says with regard to the chatzotros, right, the trumpets made out of kesef, right, silver, and they were used to blow, right, before, what do you call it, they Moshe Rabbeinu could use them, as it were, they heralded, as it were, his what do you call it, he could use them just like a king, just like you trumpet in a king, so too also Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "Ubemedrash b'chatzotros." It brings this pasuk in Mishlei. Yirah es Hashem, have fear of Hashem, b'ni my son, v'melech, and you'll be a king. Im shonim al tisarav, with people who shonim, who are inconsistent, don't mingle with them. So as Yirah es Hashem b'ni v'melech. Right, if you are God fearing, my son, you'll be like a king, right, or you'll make Hashem into your king, and thereby you'll be a king. Im shonim al tisar, but people are inconsistent. Sometimes they're with him, sometimes they're not with him, etc. Don't mix with them. Don't mix. Right, don't write. Says the Midrash, Hamlichei olecha, blocha yitzchah, rule over your yitzhara. Because if you would record, if you rule over Yetzirah, then you're worthy of being trumpeted just like a king, just like Moshe Rabbeinu.
So what's really, we're afraid that we're going to get mixed up with them because
they're marching to the beat of a different drummer. So they're always talking about what does it say in the news and what he caught and what are people going to think and what he caught and what he caught and you know what's the right the Hashem is not shogur b'fiim. They're not talking about it. Doesn't mean don't have to know what's going on in the news, but recall, but that's not the wavelength. It's like, you know, it's like I remember years ago, you know, after the first Gulf War, I was back in America for a short time for a Simcha also, and you know, and somebody
saw
the
poster,
right? Somebody asked me what's going on in Israel. I said, well, miracles, you know, and I'm telling about the bombs and recall and the people being saved in miraculous situations, and the only person could say, I wonder what Bush is going to do next. And then he tried it again, you know, we're rolling back there. I thought he had earwax, and then he said, what's Baker going to do? It's like, you know, Baker was Secretary of State. So, you know, Bush Baker, candlestick maker. I'm talking about one thing. He's talking about another thing. So, kibavadai kol inyani olam hazeh. For certainly, all the things of olam hazeh lechvodo barak. Kosh Baruch Hu made in order to reveal His kavod in it, His presence in it. Ukefi masha adam mekabel of malchus shemayim, the degree to which a person accepts upon himself the yoke of shemayim karoy appropriately. Kein kfuim hakol elav. To that degree, he rules over them. The degree to which a person accepts the yoke of Hashem's dominion upon him, he rules upon everything that is in his domain. Right? Again, all the objects, the relationships, the acts, he rules over them. Ki malchu shamayim chal al yodo l'chol nivran, because he, since he is revealing, right, the what do you call the dominion of Hashem in everything. He has become a melech over all these things in this world. V'chol nivra nimshach b'tivo achamish yuchol hamshicho l'chul alav malchus shamayim. And every creation is drawn towards, it's interesting, is drawn towards the person, right, who has the ability to reveal the Shem Shamayim. Right? There's a magnetism, as it were. In any experience, in any object, because everything is God, Hashem's presence coated with a layer right on top of it, and every object, and every experience, and every relationship, and everything that what do you call it, a person does, there is a yearning of that object to be revealed through a person, and they're drawn magnetically towards that person. Even the Yitzhara wants to be ruled over by the Tzaddik. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was worthy to trumpet before him with these chatzotzos, because he was a melech.
He was a
melech upon himself. Because how do he become a melech over himself? How do he become a melech? Because he totally negated himself when he go before Hashem.
Good morning.
You okay?
No.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
So that counts.
Okay. 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 V'lo haya shum dover nifrad etzlo. And there was nothing separate, right? Everything was what he called in his life, was what he called revolved around, right? Revolved around his connection to Hashem. V'zeo sh'omerim v'im shonim al kisarev. With people who are inconsistent, don't mix. K'she'en shinui etzel odom mis'achtim etzlo tachtonim v'alyonim k'akol l'chvoro bar rak sh'lamata eno nika kvori yizbarach l'chol dover. V'al odom tzorek l'varer malchusi yizbarach k'chol derech emes v'emuna. This is a very interesting thing he says here. And a person has to reveal l'varer, the bold over here, right? L'varer, right? To reveal, you don't know where you call it. Wait a second, time out. Where is it?
Right side.
Can't be picky. But Adam Tzarek Levarer Malchuso Yizbarach B'chol Davar in everything B'derech Emes Ve'emuna.
What is it?
A person has to reveal Malchus Shamayim in everything B'derech Emes Ve'emuna. Emes is truth. Truth is clear. Emuna is when things are not so clear and you got to rely upon Hashem. In other words, for every event that a person comes into contact with, and every object, and every relationship, right, sometimes there's a clarity of Hashem's presence here, and then you have to fan the flames of what he called of that clarity, etc., and not drag it down into the dust, etc. Right? Let's say a simcha, right? Hashem has done you a great chesed, or something like that. Right? To connect, to realize, right, look what Hashem has done for me, to be thankful, etc., 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 right? Then there were the times where a person, the way the person reveals Hashem's presence is not through emes, but rather through emuna. And as I believe, I trust Hashem, I rely upon Hashem. Those are the events that are not so pleasant, right, necessarily, not so clear. And what you would call that, the person has to reveal Hashem's presence both b'derech emes or b'derech emuna. Okay, so that was what he called that. So that was the idea of the Sfas Emes, really is building upon what Rashi told us. That what he called, Rashi said, you hold the candle there, as it were, the taper, right? Recall when you're lighting the menorah, you hold it there until the light rises on its own. Because it's not just the idea that to light it. This is a symbol of how we conduct our avoda, that it's our act that's causing the light. You have to be a participant in the rising of the light out of the menorah. Just like you have to be a participant in the rising of the light, right, out of what you call it, out of the object, out of the experience, out of the relationship that we come into contact with in Olam Hazeh, whether that is a situation of emes, right, what you call, where clearly Hashem's presence is here, right, in a way that what you call that we can feel His embrace there, or whether it's b'derech emuna, sometimes when things are not so clear, the way that we reveal Hashem's presence is by being mamid, is by relying upon Him and knowing that everything that is happening over here is for the good, even though on the surface it doesn't appear to be that way. That's the first thing. Right, ba'alos ches aneros. You should light and keep your hand there until the flame begins to rise, right? Because you're the one who's causing the flame to rise. That's your avoda. Rashi now brings a second perush and why it uses the term bahaloscha. Again, the question, right? The question is, why does it use the terminology bahaloscha when caused to raise up, as opposed to the terminology bahadlakoscha when you light? So here, right, Rashi brings a second perush. The first perush is keep the match there, as it were, the taper there until the flame is rising on its own. And that's meant to teach us a whole derech or approach to our avodas Hashem. The second perush, Rashi says, and that's the bold here in the second section, right? Right, it says
Rashi said
the first parish we call it till it rises on its own, and we just expanded on that conceptually from the Sfas Emes.
Right.
And now Rashi gives a second parish, and we're going to expand upon that based upon the Imri Emes, the son of the Sfas Emes. So Rashi says in the second parish, V'od Dorshu Rabosenu Mikan Shema La Haislefnei Amnora Shalea Koin Omeid Umeitiv. So it's a very interesting thing, right? There were two steps going up to the menorah, right? That the Kohen would stand upon these steps, right? When he needed to clean out the cups in order to relight the menorah. So if you think about that, it's really what do you call it? It's a misnomer. You're calling the process of lighting the menorah, right? Bahaloscha, when you rise up, because when you have to clean out the menorah, you have to rise up on the steps. That's a little bit strange. When he lights, he doesn't need to go up on the steps. He's tall enough. He's got this thing. He reaches his hand up, and he lights, right? When he's cleaning out, he's got to get above it to be able to see how he's cleaning it out. So he needs to rise up on the steps when he cleans it out. But why use a verb that implies rising up when you're lighting it, if really to light he didn't need to rise up on any steps? He only needs to rise up on the steps when you're cleaning it out. It's a bizarre statement, right? So it says the Imre Emes, what do you call it, a very important thing. He says, Uksiv Baloschas Aneros, the Isa, right? And we find Rashi explains, Ma lahais lefnei menorah, right? Step before the menorah. Shaleh omer a coin, that the coin would stand upon it, umeti visaneros, and he would, as it were, clean out the neros to prepare them for being relit. Hazekoi al adloka, ki Isa betagim adlakoscha. So why are we using a verb that's appropriate for when you clean it out, right? Or related, I should say, to when you clean it out, if we're talking about when you're lighting it, not when you're cleaning it out.
It means cleaning. I say it was good.
No, but I understand, but we're not talking about cleaning, we're talking about lighting it, right? Like he says, the Targum says, we're talking about you're lighting it. Baloschas and Eros means you're lighting it. We're not talking about cleaning it out. So why use a verb that relates to the act of cleaning when we're talking about lighting, not cleaning?
That's a separate fussic?
No, that's really cool. That's really cool. That's really cool. That's a different place where we talk about cleaning it out. Not here.
Uh-huh.
It's about lighting. Ulam says the what do you call the Imri Emes. Shahai says zos ha'chona lo'asid leis hester achi isbatel. Ksiv v'yom tova hayeh betov v'yom ra re'ei. Brings a pasuk in Koheles. He's telling us something also, a very important idea in Avodas Hashem. Right? Pasuk says in Koheles, B'yom tov v'behei betov, when things are good, you should be betov. You should, you know, we call it, right, we don't cry at the wedding. Right? Be besimcha at the wedding. U'b'yom ra, and there are some of the days that are bad days, not just good days. Yeah, etc. Re'ei, see. Says the Imri Emes, the Re'ei is going on the Yom Tova. In other words, when things are good, right, things are good, store up in your relationship to Hashem, right, when you're experiencing clarity. Don't just say, oh, that was very clear, and then just let it go by. Take that and take the energy, the excitement, the clarity, and we call it, and instill it, engrave it upon your heart so that you can use those resources of connection when things are not so clear. Right? It's similar to what we saw together in Tehillim, right? In Tehillim,
it's hard to do.
What?
It's hard to do.
Right, but it just really requires what he called. In Tehillim, we saw what he called in Perek Lamed Dalet, in the Perek of Ledavi Bishano, so Tamul Lefnei Avi Melach, where we say in Psukit Zimra on Shabbos, Avachos Hashem Bechol Eis, Tamid Tilaso Befi. I will bless Hashem at all times. Tamid tilaso b'fi, his praise is always in my mouth. Says the Malbim, what gives me the capacity to praise Hashem at every juncture, be they good junctures or, God forbid, not such pleasant ones, because tamid tilaso b'fi, because his praise is always in my mouth. In other words, if we are consistent in connecting to Hashem, right, when times are good, then we have, recall, we have the, as it were, the resources to transform into energy of connection when times are not so good. But if we're parav, right, when things are good, so we have no resources to draw on. It's like what he called transforming, you know, glycogen into what he called into energy. Right? You stored it up, right? You stored it up with your fat, etc. Then you have what to turn into energy when you need it. When you have to call on it, you got to run like a son of a gun, etc. Right? But if you have no storage cells, then there ain't nothing to do it with. He says that's why the Torah used the terminology over here, bahaloscha, when you rise up, which is not really relevant to lighting it. It's relevant when you're cleaning it out, right? When the lights have gone out. says that Imri Emes, that's the whole idea. We're hinting to times, right, when the lights have gone out, and you need to prepare them to be relit again. So, but at the time of lighting it, we're telling you, reminding you about what he called about the that there will be times when the lights will go out, and you have to have the energy and the strength to clean them out, prepare them for a new lighting again. What's going to give you that energy is if you remember to store up the spiritual energy and connections, how when you light it, then when you have to, as it were, really quote, clean it out, you'll have the wherewithal, you'll have the resources from upon which to draw. So these were the first two ideas for the menorah. First, the idea of what our job description is in general, in terms of we have the capacity, and that is our job description, to cause Hashem's presence to be revealed, right? From with what do you call from with any given object and act and et cetera, experience, relationship. And then the concept of the Imri Emes, all in the record on both of these really relate to the two Pirushim and Rashi on what Bahaloscha means. Does it mean to hold the taper there until the flame rises on its own, which is what the Sfasem is basically was a conceptually painting a picture for us in. And then there was the second idea, which is the idea the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, if what he called the second parish in Rashi, which uses the terminology, explains the terminology of Bahalosk when you rise up, right, as being a veiled reference to when you clean out the cups when the light has gone off, right? Not when you're lighting it. But to tell you that when you're lighting it, keep in mind that there will be experiences in life, right?
How do you say, why are you calling it an ounce of prevention?
Because what do you call, because if, as it were, when you are in your
emotion,
the time of clarity, you're connecting, you're as it were creating spiritual storage cells, right, of connection to Hashem, so that when Hashem's presence is not so clear, because it's not such a pleasant experience, right, you could draw on that to connect even then. In the parsha also we have, right, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes, talks about the traveling of the Jewish people. Al pi Hashem Yisuv, al pi Hashem Yachanu, right, it's Meshmeres Hashem Shomoro, right? Right, Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes. It takes about how they traveled, right? Ubaharich Anan ala Mishkan, and when the Anan remained, right, hovering, as it were, over the Mishkan, Yamim Rabi, many days, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael's mishmeres Hashem v'lo Yisrael. They didn't travel, right? Now, it's depending on what he called. They knew that it was time to what he called to move on when the Anan began to move. When the Anan began to leave off, what he called, when it gathered as a pillar as opposed to what he called a covering over the Mishkan, they knew it was time to leave, right? So sometimes they'd be in a place for an extended period of time. Sometimes they'd be there for a very short amount of time, and they had no way of knowing, right? They had no way of knowing. They had to, what he called, they had to go with the flow, right, of the beat of Hashem's drum. The Anan, if you recall, is moving, time to leave. Anan's there and there and there. Now, and also, it would record, you didn't know, it didn't depend on the place, and sometimes some places were very pleasant to be in. Sometimes certain places weren't so pleasant to be in, right? So you might wind up spending a lot of time in a place that you didn't particularly feel so happy about being there. And it might be a very short amount of time in a place that you thought was like, you know, Palm Springs. Love you. Right? So what he called says the Rabbeinu Bache. Ubaricha anon. Ubir lecha kosu. Ma'alosan shel Yisrael. This is teaching us the greatness of the Jewish people. Bahanagosim al pi anon. The fact that they were able, as it were, to travel according to the metronome, right, of the anon. Right? The beat was determined by the Anan, which obviously was being directed by Hashem. Ki hoy b'midbar mekomos chalukim, nochim v'sheinim nochim. There were places in the midbar, some of them were pleasant, and some were not so pleasant. The ha'ed was there, Moro v'elim, right? Moro was a place that wasn't so great, Elim was a place that was nice. Yesh mekomos nochim, sheyirtzol akev sham. There were places that were very nice, Palm Springs-like, and they wanted to stay there, right? Well, Santa Clara Mountains. Miad v'alos anan, right, and as soon as the Anan got left its presence over the Mishkan, how you know they had to leave? I want to stay here, right? I haven't done the whole golf course yet. Here we are, Pebble Beach, Right, God, let's say. And we're going, I've done the whole way, God, but now we've got to leave now. What now? I'm moving on hole six. The year, what do you call it? She'ain't a nochin. The year till in saw Misham. There are other places that weren't so pleasant to be in. I said, let's get out of here, right? Right? Let's get out of here. I don't want to stay here. Death Valley? I'm ready to stay here like a lachen cup, like a hole in the head. I don't want to stay here. Nope. They're not staying. All right, we're staying. But if the Anan stayed there, they couldn't leave. So the bottom line is, they didn't follow their own will, the beat of their own drummer, but rather the beat of Hashem's drum. And according to the guidance of the Anan. Once again, this is the practicum. This is the practical application of what the Sfasem has told us about before, that our job description is to reveal Hashem's presence, sometimes with Derech Emes, when things are clear, etc., and sometimes with Derech Emuna, sometimes when things require Emuna, right? We have a job description there also. Right? Our tendency is to relate to times when times are dark, is that that's it, right? He's out of the picture, he's abandoned us. And then we begin to think in temporal terms, you know, what do you call it? What's the crafty way to work my way around this situation? Or how can I avoid it, not think about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When really, we have to confront it, yeah, through the lens of Hashem's will. What is Hashem's will over here? What does he want me to do here? And once we do that, right, that, what do you call it, that gives us a greater degree of stability. Plus, it's stability. And also, we know that what we've done now is an act that's eternal. We've done an act eternal. That's what generates the stability. I don't mean to make the Torah into what he calls a psychological, you know, bomb, B-A-L-M, not B-O-M-B, right? Right. But the fact is that when you know that what you're doing is right, right, no matter how difficult it is, Hashem should spare us from all difficult situations, right? But what you're doing is right.
You do it, and
you feel in a greater state of harmony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Further, right? Okay, so we've had our job description, we've had the idea of ounce of prevention, we've had the practical application of it when they travel to the middle, all here in this parsha. So fascinating,
mm-hmm.
Right? But now there are also their lapses. What happens when you mess up? Here, what he calls the Shemi Shmuel is talking about, right? He's talking about that we have a situation over here in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Hey. I should start earlier. Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Says...
It's not on the paper. Already.
It's true.
This is an addendum.
Magilcha. It says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, and they traveled from the Mount of Hashem. Derech Shlosh Yom in 3 days.
3 days.
Va'oron Bris Hashem, Noseh Lifneim.
Is it after Sinai?
This is right. Called that. They've been there for a year. Right. Called. They built a mishkan. It's time to go. Right.
Travel 3 days.
Okay. The Aron Bris Hashem no Salif name, and the Aron traveled in front of them. Derech Shlosh Yom in 3 days. Latur Lahem to scout out for them, search out for them. Menucha, place, a resting place. Vanan Hashem alein Yomam ben Asam min Amachane, and the Anan of Hashem was above them when they left the encampment.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says Vayhi ben So Aron, right. Right, and we'll note, right, you see the backwards nunim, right, in front of Vahib and Soa. See it? There's a nun there. It's backwards.
Backwards
nun. Right backwards nun. And then Yisrael. And here, what he calls another backwards nun.
All Torahs in that. All five books in that.
Right, so what he calls, like, we'll talk about that. There's different things, what he calls, they say about that. Right, it's a book unto itself, right? That's machlokus, actually, what this represents here. And then it says, Vahiya am kimisonanim. And the people were, well, misonanim. Misonanim is kvetching. It depends. You could say misonanim is kvetching, looking for an excuse to complain, right? You could say that misonanim is feeling a sense of loss, like an onane, is a person who, what he called, who God forbid, who has just lost a relative, right? He, the deepest state of his mourning is even before the person is buried. He's called an onane, right? Ayim kibis onane, that can be in a state of yeush, of hopelessness, right? Of mourning. Mourning of loss. What are they mourning? We'll see. Onane rabbi azne Hashem, vayishma Hashem, vayichar apo, vativar bom esh, and then a fire burned in them, right? And it consumed the edge of the encampment. Where they're talking about the important people. Talking about
fire came out of heaven.
Right? Amel Moshe, and they cried out to Moshe. We espalu Moshe Hashem, and Moshe davened Hashem. Atishka Eish, and Eish subsided.
Why? Because they were in the misnonim.
So they were misnonim, right? Right. So because he vayikra Hashem makomu tavera, they called that place the burning, the place of burning. Kibar abam esh Hashem, for there the fire of Hashem burned in their midst, burned amongst them. And then afterwards, this vasaf sufa shebekirbo hisavu tava, and the mixed multitude that was in their midst, right, began to desire tava, desire, right. Vayashuvu vayivku gam bnei Yisrael, and they caused the Jewish people as well to cry over their lack, what do you call, not having their tavas fulfilled. And say, who's going to give us meat? Fine. So there are a lot of approaches to this. We're going to go with one approach, right? The approach, what do you call it, the Chassidish approach of what do you call it, the Shem Yishmuel, and what do you call it in the Mora Vashamish.
What hechsher is that?
Okay. Says the Shem Yishmuel, both and Acher, a different way. Again, the Rishonim explain this.
It's okay.
Both and Acher, the Isa B'Shem Habesht, the Baal Shem Tov says. The Baal Shem Tov, right? B'divrei HaMedrash, it says in the Medrash, Yenaginu Almus, that Hashem will guide us, Almus, like youth, Almus, and Elem is a youth, Almus. Right, he will Yagenu Almus. He'll guide us like a youth. Right, the Kamosh Tinok, just like a little baby. B'shar Shav Malamdo Lelech, when his father wishes to teach him how to walk. Kishatinok Miskarav Etzlo, as the Tinok takes his first steps and starts coming closer to his father, who Marchik Es Atzmo, he distances himself from him.
When he starts walking.
Right, in order that he should learn how to walk. Right, if you just allow him to take those two steps and then you grab him, he won't learn how to walk. You keep on backing away from him, so he has to keep on struggling more and more to walk. Kadesh lahargilo lelech, so that he can accustom him to walking. V'nimtze harichuk, right, and therefore the experience of distancing himself from his son, right, is tova latinok, and good for the young toddler, so he'll learn how to be a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Midbar, the Jewish people in the desert, Tayuba Madrega Gedola. They were in a very high Madrega. Right? Shahai Salemi is Galus Elokus. They had Hashem's presence revealed to them. The Gamacholomayamachal Ruchni, they ate the man. Veloosko Bashum Maisa Gashmin, they weren't involved with what he called with the making of Parnasa, etc. Achzelo Hayatachis Abriyam, that's not the goal of creation. Right, they should live right in this lap of where all their needs are being met, and where clarity surrounds them. Ki anashama kodim yudas olam hazeh ein machzor la b'shum davar. The soul before it comes down to this world, it wasn't missing anything either, but its goal was to conquer new territories, right? To overcome situations which were not situations of apparent closeness, and to reveal Hashem's presence there. That reveals Hashem's presence, and that becomes ultimately their reward. They become more similar to the Creator, right? As they, as it were, they create their own existence, they create their own connection to Hashem, right? But that can only be done where there's an absence of something, right? Just as creation, right, emanates from nothingness, right? So too, we become more similar to our Creator when we create out of nothingness, out of absence, out of lack, out of deficiency, out of feeling a sense of distance, and we create, right, quote, we create a bond to Hashem even in the midst of that difficulty. He benoam ziva elyon, right? The Shemun is upstairs, is basking in the spiritual Riviera. The goal is that we should serve Hashem even in a physical world where Hashem's presence is hidden from us. That's the kavanah, to come to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to sow the fields, we're going to plow the fields, we're going to reap the fields, yet nonetheless we're always going to remain connected in spite of the fact that we're involved in what he called in physical things. We will serve Hashem totally. And since now, right at this point, they were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, except that next week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach, and the Meraglim were sent, and then messed the whole thing up, and they wanted to spend another 38 years in the desert, right? But they were on their way to Eretz Yisrael, right? Hashem was trying to accustom them to a little bit of distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore,
in case of what?
So because they're coming to Eretz Yisrael, where Hashem is, it's not going to be, they're not going to feed them man.
No, are you commenting on the pasuk that the fire emerged?
Oh, the fire was the punishment. But what he called, we're talking about the idea that what he called that they traveled 3 days from what he called from Har Sinai, and it says the Aron was in front of them. They were used to the Aron being in their midst. They've been sitting a whole year with the Aron in their midst. Now the Aron is distancing itself. That's what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. The Aron distancing itself. It's going before them, right? Right? It's leading them. But it, at first glance, it appears like it's distancing itself from them. Right? It's really, it's leading them. It's instructing them. It's educating them. Keep coming towards me. Keep coming towards me. Right? Don't give up. Keep running toward me. My point is not to run away from you. My point is to accustom you to be able to walk.
But not to see me at the same time.
Right. Listen, that's the idea. That's the idea. Keep on coming. Keep on closer. Keep on coming closer. Etc. V'zeu Aron Bris Hashem v'selus name v'lo v'socham ki yisraglu l'karav v'satma. He wanted them to accustom themselves to bring themselves closer to Hashem, when Hashem was not standing right next to them, in their midst. The Hevo Hivinuzos, and they didn't understand this. The Hayu Misonanim, right? They were Misonanim. The Zehu, what do you call it? Limul Tzim, this is a lesson to all the youth, a lesson to us. Shemaschilim Lavor Hashem Yisbrach, when we try to be over Hashem, right? Bislavos, we talk with excitement. And then afterwards, we feel like we've descended. Where's the excitement? Where's the spark? Where'd it go? I lost it. What happened to it? Where'd it go? Why didn't he help me hold on to it? Because really what he's trying to do is to encourage me to struggle harder, to be close to him independently, because that's to my benefit. That's what he called Hashem took what he called that Hashem does that with us sometimes also. We feel sad that Hashem, and all of a sudden everything is ala panim, as they say. It's on the, what he called, everything's upside down. It's messed up, butter side down. And that's Kadesh Kokos Atsum Yavdus Hashem is brought. That's what Hashem wants from us. So that was the first flaw. The first flaw is they were misowning him, right? And of something that was really to their benefit, but they didn't perceive it as being to their benefit, so they were misowning. And what is this being misowning? It says more of a shamish. Very interesting thing. Perish, right? Shenaflu la'atzmus. They became sad. They became depressed. They felt a sense of hopelessness. Atzus. Vu migzeras onen. And the word misonanim, says the Mor v'Shamesh, comes from the root of mourning. They mourned their own self-loss. Right? And as they saw this distancing of Hashem, Hashem has abandoned me. But really Hashem was trying to educate them, to encourage them to grow, right? And to build a connection to him, right? Even in situations that where he, God forbid, appears to be absent. That would be the best gift that he could give them. But instead, they translated that as though he had abandoned them, and therefore they mourned the loss of their connection. Ach nimshach lehem al idea atzus shis avu tava. So what he called, what happened? So Hashem, so the fire came down because this atzus, this what he called this sense of mourning that I've been abandoned by Hashem, kilu Hashem is not here anymore, right? Is really like a vodazara. It's a vodazara. Why? Because because it would record it is implying, right? It's implicit in that sense of mourning the loss of connection is that there is something in the world where Hashem is not there. That's not true. It can't be true. It's an illusion. It's a false illusion. It's like a avodah zarah. So the fire burned in their midst. So even after Moshe Rabbeinu davened and the fire stopped, ach nimshoch lehem al yedei ha'atzus, but from this sense of loss, right? She's avu tava. They began, what he called, they began to desire. They just want to eat, because the sense of life left them, right? And so they want to compensate for that feeling of loss of life, loss of existence, by creating a false sense of life, alive with pleasure, right? If I'm eating, I feel like I'm alive. I'm eating, I feel like I'm alive. I feel like I'm alive. Otherwise, I don't feel like I'm alive. It's like eating as a result of, it's like binging as a result of being, right, a result of being suffering from the big D.
Big D?
Depression. Sorry. Right? So that's what he calls. So this is a lapse. This is a lapse. It's a lapse. What do we do now? How do we correct the lapse? So the Torah tells us, right? We saw before the two pesukim in Vayi ben Soa Aron and Uvenucho Yomar, surrounded by the backwards nunim, right? So now the Gemara in Shabbos teaches us Ton Rabbanan. We're on Shabbos and Daf Kuf Tes Vav and Beis Kuf Tes Zayin Vav. Ton Rabbanan. Vayi ben Soa Aron Vayomar Moshe Parshazu Asal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Simanios Milmala Ulamata Lomar She'ein Zeh Mekoma, right? They're nunim, hafuchim, backwards nunim, that bracket these, what do you call it, these two psukim. Rebbe Omer, min Hashem hu zeh elam ibnei, lo min Hashem hu zeh elam nei shesefer choshu ibnei atzmo. Right? The first opinion we see is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He said the opinion these two psukim really don't belong here.
What does backward nunim have to do with... With the lesson we had
learned. Oh, so we'll see. We're going to see, right?
But it wasn't in order.
Right. So that's according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says these psukim are out of order. You know, they really should have been back in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. We're talking about the traveling of the Jewish people. And then it should have said, right, even saw it over there. It was placed over here, as it were, right, to instruct us to block between what he called these moments of their descent, of their sin, right? To tell us something over here. Rebbe says the reason why these Upsukim are bounded by the Nunim Afuchim is why? Is because it's a Sefer Choshuv Bifnei Atzmo, it's a book into itself. So these are two opinions. Why are the Nunim Afuchim there? Are the Nunim Afuchim there, right? To show us, right, to rectify, right, to block, right, to give us like a remedy in the midst of the Jewish people's descent into sin, a remedy, right? And it was what we just described from based upon the Shemi Shmuel and the Mor Vashamash. Again, there are different ways that we show them to discuss it. That they would record that the Aram started to travel in front of them. Vashem to record and record. This is all to teach them that you have to bring yourself close with times when Hashem looks like he's distant from you, and that's part of the educational process. It's better for us. It strengthens us. Instead, they felt we've been abandoned. That's like a avodah zarah. They allowed themselves to descend into despondency, into hopelessness, etc. Right, and then the result where they were punished. So the remedy, right, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we took these two psukim, which really are belong someplace else, we put them over here as a remedy to tell us that Hashem is always, right, Hashem is always in front of us. He's guiding the way. Vayhi ben Tzor on Vayom Moshe, right? Kum Hashem v'yafutzo vecha, rise up Hashem and vanquish our enemies. He's in front of us, not because he's abandoning us. He's in front of us in order to, what he called, in order to conquer our enemies before us, to enable us, as it were, to be able to spread out, to become bigger, etc. That pasuk is a remedy. Uvenucho yomar, when you come to a point of rest, Shuva, what he called Shuva Hashem, what he called Shuva Hashem Rivos Alpha Yisrael. Now Hashem will dwell in our midst once again in the process, and after we've accomplished, he's not distancing himself from us in order to, what he called, to leave us. He is distancing us, he's distancing from us to leave a path before us, a path to help us grow greater. And then once again, when the time is time to rest, he'll be in our midst once again. Right? It's a whole different perception of it. Right? You can look like he's distancing himself because he's abandoning us. And then say, we're finished, you fall into despondency. And really, what the psukim are telling us, no, that's not what's happening. He's distancing himself. How long will that distancing be? I don't know. And that depends. Different times, different situations, different people's lives, who knows, right? But the goal is that he's blazing a path so that we should grow, right? We should grow. He's vanquishing our enemies. He's leading the way for us, not abandoning us. And then when the time comes, he will rest in our midst once again. Shuv Yisrael, Shuv Hashem, Rivos Alfi Yisrael, rest your Shechina upon the multitudes of the Jewish people. So that's what Rebbe Shim Gamliel says the purpose of the pasuk is. Is to be a remedy to our descent, to our fall.
Right? That's kind of like a warning.
Well,
before,
yeah. Well,
out of place, so therefore,
put it over here. Remind everybody, get your head, screw your head on straight. When you fall, remember this. Remember that's what it's about. It's not leaving us; it's leading us. Right? Rebbe says the reason why the Nunim Afuchim are there, right, is because it is a book unto itself. It's a book unto itself. Okay. Why the Nunim? So we'll try and understand. Says the Marsha, there in the Gemara on Shabbos. Right? Ulamanda Omar, She'ein Zemekoma. This is not really its place, but it's put here to give us a pharmaceutical aid, as it were, a spiritual pharmaceutical aid. You ready to call it to heal ourselves, to realize that when things look distant, don't fall into despondency. If we're going with the derech of the, what do you call it, of the Baal Shem Tov and the Shemi Shmuel and the Morva Shamesh, right? It's meant to be a healing agent. El Kadela Hafsik Ben Puranus, right? So we should know that what he called that we are not destined to always fall, etc. Depending, we can rectify it by proper attitude.
Whose opinion was that again? That was the Baal Shem Tov.
This is what he called again. What about the idea of the distance?
Constantly having goodness on our mind, so when something bad happens, it will come out.
That was what he called that we said on the pasuk in Avarchas Hashem B'chol Eis Tamid Tila So B'fi. That was the Malbim's parish there, Malbim in Tila. Yeah. Right. So he says, but he called Kemasik Yesh Lechaven Shal Korach Bo Eila Simonim Benunim Afuchim. Why do they use nunim afuchim, backwards nunim? Mora al puranus, goshar kosuv beper kamed brachos. Right? The Baal Shoa says, why are nunim afuchim chosen? So let's remember. The Gemara in Brachos says, why is there no nun in Ashrei? Why is there no nun in Ashrei? So the Gemara says, why? Because there's a pasuk. Navi says, Nafla. Lo tosif kum besuas Yisrael, right? You have fallen, and you will not rise again, O Jewish people. Besuas Yisrael means the virgin of Israel. It's referring to the Jewish people. You have fallen, you will not rise again. That's why there's no nun. So that's a strange thing, because I'm sure you can find psukim that start with every letter of the alphabet that have got some sort of not such good connotations to it, etc. Okay. Says the Gemara though. So wait, wasn't that we got a problem? What's the shot in that pasuk? They said in Eretz Yisrael they didn't read it that way. In Eretz Yisrael they read it, Nafla lo tosif, you have fallen, but you will not fall again. Kum zulas Yisrael, rise up, O Jewish people, right? Rise up, Jewish people. So it just begs the question: if in fact in Eretz Yisrael they taught us how to read the pasuk correctly, so why we can't have a nun in Ashrei? Why can't we have a nun in Ashrei? The idea is that on the surface, that's the nature of this pasuk. That's what makes this pasuk, as it were, so appropriate, right? So appropriate. because on the surface, when you read the pasuk, that's what it looks like. It looks like calamity. It looks like disaster. Nafla lotos yifkum. You have fallen, you will not rise again, B'sulas Israel, O Jewish people. That's what it looks like on the surface. But the depth of it is really no. Nafla, you have fallen, lotos yif, you will not fall again. Rise up, O Jewish people. Right? So in Ashrei, where we have got the, what do you call, we've got the order of the world, right? Aleph Beis, the order of the world in front of us. We leave out the Nun. Because the Nun, that pasuk, is a unique pasuk. It's a pasuk that you can read it as disaster, or read it as what he called as a promise of hope, right? So we leave it out to tell us that there will be situations, right, where on the surface it looks disastrous, but really it is a promise of hope. It's a promise of hope. As difficult as it is for us to wrap our heads around it, but that's the reality. So they leave out the Nun, and the next pasuk in Ashrei gives a veiled reference to it. Someich Hashem l'chol hanoflim. God will hold up all those who have fallen. V'zokef l'chol tofim. And He will straighten out all those who are bent over. So we leave out the Nun to tell us that there are times in the order of the world where things look like calamity. But you should know, right? You should know that really, right, Hashem hasn't abandoned us. He's going to hold us up. And then eventually we'll see that pasuk being revealed in its true form, which is Nafla, once again with the Nun, Lotosi, if you have fallen, but you will not fall again. Kum Besulis, you shall rise up, O Jewish people. Says the Marsha, that's why they're Nunim Hafuchim over here, right? Because that's the lesson it's coming to teach us. The lesson it's coming to teach us is, right, called, don't fall prey to the situation where you think, because of Hashem's apparent distance from us, that it means He's abandoned us. He hasn't abandoned us. And that's why the Nunim are Afuchim. They're backwards, right? Because you look at it one way and really it's another way. You can perceive it as what he called as though Hashem has abandoned us, right? In these difficult times, right? We should be spared. But what he called the difficult times. And our perception is Hashem has abandoned us. He's abandoned us. But the Teretz is, no, you got it backwards. It's a promise of hope. It's a promise that will be greater, right? And we'll never fall again. Never fall again. So that's the perish of what he calls, of the Nunim Afuchim, right? Of the Nunim Afuchim, what he called, according to Rav Shim Gamliel, that they don't belong here, but they're put here as a remedy to our falling, so that we shouldn't, as it were, see ourselves as predetermined to fall into the depths. We can't help ourselves. We're hopeless, right? We're going to fall into despondency because Hashem has left us. It's not true. He hasn't left us. He's leading us. Nunim Afuchim. Nunim Afuchim. According to Rebbe, the Marsha says the Nunim Afuchim, the Rebbe, remember, said that this is a book unto itself, because like what Ram mentioned before, right, that what he called, it's a book unto itself. And the Chidah, I think, says, yeah, that this is the biggest book of the Torah, because it's the story of all the Jewish people throughout all history, right? And these two, what he called, traveling before us, right? And then finally coming to rest. That's all of our story throughout history. And the Nunim Afuchim are there to tell you that we call their Nun Shari Bina. They're what we call it, their 50 gateways to wisdom, to understanding. And we can't understand all of them. It's just warning us beforehand that as we travel through life, there'll be times, right, that the Nun looks backwards. Our understanding, we can't understand. So either way, it's really revolving on the same basic idea. According to what he called, according to Rebbe, that it's a book into itself, it's really a warning beforehand. Mm-hmm. And according to Rosh Hashanah Gamaliel, right, it's coming to rectify, it is a tool, right, for picking ourselves up after we've lapsed. Right? The simple reading, the way we superficially look at things, Hashem has abandoned us, Chas v'chalil, He hasn't abandoned us.
He's leading us.
He's leading us. and he's what do you call it? He's there to help us. He wants us to grow and to struggle to try and connect even in the most difficult circumstances. But Hashem should have rachmanas on us, and Be'ezer Hashem, we will do our job description. We will provide an ounce of prevention. We will fulfill this. But even if we mess up, we know he hasn't left us.